for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2007 July Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tuesday afternoon, July the 3rd, 2007. Dr. William Knoll is the speaker of this service, teaching on rejection.
We ask you, Lord, for an outpouring of your Spirit today, Lord, that your Spirit will be poured out. In the name of Jesus, Lord, the Spirit of wisdom and knowledge, that the eyes of understanding will be opened and behold you in your glory, and what is the hope of our calling, and the power you've endued us with to bring it forth. Lord, we thank you, and we praise you, and we bless you, Lord God. Open our ears. Now we bind the spirit of stupor, sleepiness and stupor, the deaf and dumb spirit. We bind it and we command it to be gone out of this place in the name of Jesus Christ. And we command open ears, open hearts in the name of Jesus. All God's folks said, amen. Well, I said I was supposed to talk on fear this morning. I really didn't think I was going to talk today, but it worked out I was. Rejection. Now, Webster's dictionary says to reject means to refuse to take, to agree to see to use, or believe. In other words, you reject God, refuse to believe God's word, you reject it. To discard, to throw out as worthless, or useless, or substandard, or to cast off. To rebuff, especially to deny acceptance, care, and love. And so when you are being rejected, rejected is a two-edged sword. When you are being rejected, you're being cast off as worthless, not worthy of love, you're substandard, not worthy of love or acceptance. But when you reject something, you refuse to take it, to agree to it, see to it, to use it, or believe it, you reject God's word. And you refuse to believe it. Those are the two meanings. Rejection can flow into you or out of you. And rejection is the act of rejecting or being rejected. And those are from Webster's New College Dictionary, second edition, 1976. I bought right back there from Irma in 1981. It's a two-edged sword. It can enter you by being denied acceptance, love, or care, or can proceed out of you as a refusal to accept or believe. Hence, cast out as useless God's or society's laws. The first rejection resulted in the rebellion of Lucifer. And that's listed in Isaiah 14, 12 to 14. He became Satan. And Satan seduced Adam and Eve into rejecting God's commandment, so that rejection became our birthright through Adam. Now here we have the verse in Isaiah. How you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, that means light bearer, son of the morning. How you cut down to the ground, you weaken the nations, for you said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit on the mount of the congregation on the further side of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. And so with him, when he rejected God's laws, it resulted in rebellion, pride, and rebellion. And in Ezekiel, we see it being made our birthright. Ezekiel 16, again the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations. And Jerusalem is a type of the church. And say, thus says the Lord God to Jerusalem, your birth and your nativity are from the land of Cana. And the word Cana means rejected or despised. Your father was an Amorite, that's proud or lifted up. Your mother a Hittite, that's fear or terror. As for your nativity, on the day you were born, Your navel cord was not cut, nor were you washed with water to cleanse you. You were not rubbed with salt, nor wrapped in swaddling clothes. No eye pitied you to do any of these things for you, to have compassion on you, but you were thrown out into the open field when you were loathed on the day you were born. Now that is absolute rejection. He threw the baby out with the bathwater. And some of y'all are saying, where does it say that Jerusalem is the type of the church today? The new Jerusalem came down. John saw the new Jerusalem come down from heaven, and the angel said to him, I will show you the Lamb's bride, the new Jerusalem. And then he saw the new Jerusalem descending down, the bride of the Lamb. You are the Lamb's bride, the church. There are other scriptures too, but, well, praise God. Hallelujah. And Ezekiel says, that was your birthright. And then he said, Jesus says, when I passed by you and saw you struggling in your own blood, he saw you sitting out there dying. And I said to you in your blood, live. Yes, I said to you in your blood, live. That was the day he chose you before the foundation of the earth to be saved. He looked at you and he said, live. You're dying. I made you thrive like a plant in the field. You grew and matured and became very beautiful. Your breasts were formed, your hair grew, but you were naked and bare. Now, that word naked is a very interesting word. It does not mean nude. It is used elsewhere in Genesis. When Adam and Eve were together, they were naked and unashamed. That word means nude. But when they partook of the forbidden fruit, they saw they were naked. And that word means to be without armor or out covering. The word is frequently used to put on their armor. When he said they made aprons for themselves, but they were without a covering. They were covered with light. You see, God clothes himself with a garment of light, it says in the Psalms. And the theologians agree that in their unfallen state, Adam and Eve in the image of God, the likeness image of God, were clothed in light. But when they fell, they lost their covering of light and they knew something was wrong. And they became afraid and hid themselves because they had no covering. And then they went out and made their own covering out of fig's leaves. And it shows, you know, they talk about, you see the pictures of them, they were covering their sexual parts. No, they covered their whole body. And when I looked on you, I passed by you again, I looked upon you, and indeed it was a time for law. So I spread my wing over you. Now you can't interpret that, the corner of my garment. You remember when Ruth went to Boaz on the threshing floor? Depends on the translation you have. One of them says, spread your wing over me. The other one says, spread the corner of your garment over me. What she was saying is, marry me, Boaz. Do for me, fulfill your obligation under the law, for you are a near kinsman. Marry me and raise up a seed for my husband's name. That was his obligation. He said, I am a near kinsman, but there's someone closer than I. But if he won't, I am. And he went and settled it that day, and he married her. But he spread the corner of his garment over, and she slept under his garment. Jesus covered you with his wing. Under his wing, he will cover you with feathers, and under his wing you will seek refuge, says in Psalm 91. And covered your nakedness. He provided a covering for you. Yes, a sworn oath to you, and you entered into a covenant with me, and you became mine, says the Lord. That's the day you got saved. When you got saved, you entered into a covenant with Jesus Christ. And he agreed to do certain things for you, and you agreed to do certain things for him. And if you break that covenant, the penalty is death.
Spiritual death.
And eventually death in the lake of fire. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. It forgives us when we sin. And cleanses us from righteousness and we repent and turn from our sin. But there you have the origin of rejection. The origin of rejection is your birthright from Adam. And Jesus Christ came to set you free from that birthright. And it is twofold. Rejection. Fear and pride is the way it manifests. Today we're going to talk about fear. Rejection being cast aside as substandard, unwanted, unloved. Now here we've got the flow sheet. Now I can't read it from here. I know you can't read it from there. That's the reason I printed out and gave it to you. That's a copyrighted material. I took it out of the book. First is the fear of rejection. And with the fear of rejection comes self-rejection. Now in 1 Samuel 15, here Samuel says to Saul, "For rebellion is a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is iniquity, and because you rejected the word of God, he's rejected you from being king." And then Saul said to Samuel, "I have sinned, I have transgressed the commandment of God and your word, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice." They had rejected him once before, when he was first ordained, and he went back to farming. And here they were, and they wanted to take the best of the sheep and offer them to God, and God had told him to kill everything. And he was afraid to say, "No, you can't do that." He's afraid they're going to cast him out as king again. So he feared the people and didn't fear God. And he rejected God's word because he's afraid the people were going to reject him. Numbers 31 shows what happened. And there we saw the giants, descendants of Anak, and came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so were they in there. That's what the 10 spies that gave the bad report said. God sent them in. And they came back and said, "Man, they're giants out there. We can't take that plan." 2 spies said, "Man, we'd be well able. Our God is with us." "What are you talking about? They got walls going all the way up the city. Great big folks. Why, we look like grasshoppers. They just step on us." What did the people say? "Oh, go back to Egypt when we had lots of good stuff. And he brought it out here because there wasn't no grains in Egypt but berries then." They were scared. Fear came into them and they rejected God. Now, self-rejection brings a number of things. If you feel bad about yourself, you see, you mutilate yourself. If you feel bad about yourself, you feel bad about your body, you feel that you've been rejected, you're scared people are going to reject you. And so what do? You put body art, make yourself look pretty, have some tattoos put on you. You get some big earrings hang down, or maybe one in your nose here, or 5 or 6 here, or one in your eyebrow, or one through your lip, going around. People are going to show notice you got that big thing hanging out of your lip, you walking around. You stick out your tongue and they got a pre-piercing in there. Uh-huh. I had a young girl who had been the praise leader in her church. She had been the model teenager, had gone off to college, going to sorority, led a Bible study there in the sorority, came home, got a job teaching school, was helping the youth pastor. I was visiting the church, and they just had a big youth meeting, and they moved all the chairs out, and they had the pit there, and they had the big band, and they were all down in the pit, and they were falling over and catching each other. Whatever you call that. And that was the night before. And so I was walking, and then they moved all the chairs. And this young lady came walking out of that, and she was walking over the office. And I met her about halfway in the middle of it. And God said, "Lay hands on her." I said, I called her by name. They introduced me to her. Said, "Can I pray for you?" "Well, sure, I can pray." I put my hand on her, and she just went down. Oh. And this blood-curdling scream came out. You could hear from here to the road. The building sort of shook, and she sort of wriggled like a snake. And I sat down and looked at her, and God gave me a word of knowledge. And I spoke to that thing, and it just kept screaming. And then the pastor and the youth pastor and the elders and a number of other people came to witness this marvelous event. And God gave me a word of knowledge. And I said, "All you people, get back now. Get back. 30 feet. I don't want anybody 30 feet of me." And I leaned over and I said to her, I said, "Young lady, you've got a piercing in your navel. It's holding this demon in you. I want you to go in the bathroom, ladies' room, and take that thing out of your navel and bring it back out here and give it to me. And she had mascara all over. I said, God, I said, go get it, take it out, bring it back to me. If you want to be fed this thing out of you. She got up and she went in and she came back and I just held out my hand, she put it in and I put it in my pocket. I said, now in the name of Jesus. And then back down again, screaming and writhing. And about 20 or 30 minutes later, I called out a number of various spirits. And then God told me to tell her something. God said, I'm restoring your virginity. And she looked up at me and she was really crying now. And she said, I can feel it. Okay. Now go and sin no more, that's the worst thing before you. She walked away. And then these elders and preachers, they sin on me like a bunch of flies. I'm going to say, what was that? What do you think it was? I don't understand that. She is in and never sin, she doesn't say. Well, brother, them were demons that came out of her. Well, you going to tell us about it? I said, if she wants to share with you, then she can share with you. But I don't. Share. I don't talk. Well, I'm the pastor and I'm the head of the church. And I said, and I don't share with you. I said, I don't share confidentiality. And, but she had a piercing in her. She was afraid of being rejected by her sorority sisters because they all, that was the mark, they all had a piercing in their navel. And so, rather than she knew it was wrong, but to fear of being rejected by them, she went ahead and had it done. And it led her into whoredom. Body piercing. Y'all got piercing in you? You know the only reason that you get your ears pierced in the Bible? Be a slave. And these boys say, well, I'm a slave of Jesus. I've got a pierced ear with a cross. Means I'm a slave. Did Jesus pierce your ear? The Bible said the master, your owner, will pierce your ear. He will drive the awl through and put the earring in. He do that? No. Well, then you're owned by that person who pierced you as a soul tither. I don't offend any of you ladies and gentlemen that might have piercings. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Okay? Multiple lacerations. They cut themselves sometimes here, sometimes where you can't see it. Self-hatred. They don't like their body. You know, I hate this body of mine. I just need a little more. Now I'm just going. I'll get some of this taken off here and put up here. And I got this stuff here, you know, and it just, I can't get it out. And they tell me that Dr. So-and-so, I can put this thing in and suck it out, you know. And I just put a few hair lights in my hair. Yeah, my hair falling out. Get me a hair transplant or a hair piece. I'm too fat. I'm not going to eat anymore. I'm going to stick my finger down my throat and throw up so I don't have to, so I won't gain any more weight. I'll go into the bathroom at night when I brush my teeth and then I'll turn the toothbrush around and stick it down my throat and throw up. You all do that? 33%. You see these good looking young girls on the pom-pom team at college? One third of them are bulimic. Their weight set by the trainer. Those are statistics. Set by the trainer. They're unrealistically set. Very thin. And they got that it's such a popular job. They got a whole line of young ladies waiting. Your weight get up. Trainer sets you off. Gets a new one. So you eat. Go upstairs and in the sorority house. Brush your teeth at night. And go into the bathroom. Stick toothbrush down your and throw it up. After a while, you get a demon. Or you might get a friend that comes visit you. His name's Anna Anorexia. I hate this body of mine. And so you get anorexia. Or maybe you're too thin and you get upset and you just develop a liking for sugar, you know. You want a little extra dopamine to make yourself feel good. I tell the story in 1983, I think it was. Rogaine came out. And it cost, and the local dermatologist gave us a talk about Rogaine, and it stopped male pattern baldness. And if a man who was developing male pattern baldness, you know, his hair was falling out, his head, forehead starts back and brunt goes forward, and his hair's falling out, he can take that Rogaine to stop falling out. But you know, they had there were some toxic side effects to it, so they had to check their blood and do this, that, and the other. They had to go into the dermatologist once a month to get the prescription. And all told, it cost $300 a month. Now, in 1983, $300 a month, we're about $700 now. And I looked at her and I said, surely, doctor, there are not too many men in this town that are willing to spend $300 a month for the rest of their life to keep their hair from falling out. And she smiled and she said, Bill, you've got no idea how many vain men there are in this town. They reject themselves. They're afraid of being rejected, so they reject themselves and they hate the fact that their hair's falling out. Just look at television. All these things about you got hair, you can attract the girl. Fantasy. Well, now, that's a very safe place. If you think you're being rejected, dear God. If I'll never get, Lord help me. I'm sorry, people. I can sit and talk about this all day. But the safest place for you to retreat is into your mind. You can daydream. You know, you're very safe when you live in your. You know, it is said that the neurotics build castles in the air. The psychotics live in the castles in the air. And the psychiatrists collect the rent on them. And so they you daydream. And Bill, man, you can solve all kind of problems. But it's a type of idolatry because when you get into it, you in God, you control what happens. Romans 1:32 says, because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations and their foolish hearts were darkened. That means you go into daydreams. And it just... Yeah, you get wealth and power and position in your daydreams. Or you can become a rabid sports fan or a rabid movie fan. Man, and you can just disappear. You ever watch these old boys watching football, man, and they get there and they, whoo, 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 whoo. I mean, they get into it, you know, and they're carrying that ball. They're identifying, they're carrying that ball. That's them out there on the field. Then they don't worry about their inadequacies. And they can hide. And they can talk about it with their friends. And they don't worry about the fact the bills ain't paid. Don't worry about the fact that their children aren't coming in at night. They don't worry about the fact that a number of things. Or they can get on the internet. God bless the internet. Or computer games. All those things can occupy, you can get lost into them. And I used to relax watching John Wayne when I was waiting on babies to come. But you know how addicting that is? You can sit there and just, I love the scenery, you know, and just watch those good old westerns, you know, and just look at the scenery and just sort of drift back into it. And you know, when they say, we're ready, Doc? No, you didn't want to leave. The love of the world. Well, you can love the world for all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but the world. The world is a passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Now this is the love or lust of the world. It's divided into the lust of the eyes, that which you see. That's your personal appearance. Or how you package your personal appearance. What kind of clothes you wear. How you look. What kind of jewelry you got. What kind of car you drive. What kind of impression you make. Or how folks see you. Or maybe how you attract the opposite sex. All of that. Or what about the opposite sex attracts you? That's all the lust of the eye, the desire of the eyes. I can break that down on and on all the way out to yonder. But we'll go on. The lust of the flesh, that's self-centered desire. That's what you want for you, for me and mine. I remember this psychiatrist always told everybody that everybody had to get their goodies. Everybody had to get, it's all right if it's for you. You deserve it. He never healed anybody. I mean, he has practiced God full. He kept telling these people they deserved it. Yeah, go out and have an affair on your husband. You deserve a little fun. He's not treating you fair. Eventually ran him out of town. And so, sexual, out of the lust of the flesh, you can get all kind of whoremongering spirits. You can get narcissism, that is complete self-centered desire, or you can get desires for pleasure. All of that is to please me, myself, and I. It's soulish. Or you can get the pride of life. You can have power, money, or position. Power comes from having people under you, money, greed, and all that goes with it, or position. Be pride. Those are pride of life. I break those down much more in the book. You can find yourself in that. You get sexual dysfunction in your imagination. Because they knew not God, they did not glorify Him, but were not thankful, became futile in their thoughts. Their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and corrupted the glory of the incorruptible God, an image made like corruptible man and birds and fulfilling and creeping things. And therefore God gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts and dishonor their body. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. For this reason God gave them up to vile passion. For even their women exchanged the natural use of what's against nature. And men also, leaving the natural use of them, burned in their lust for one another, men committing what is shameful, receiving the due penalty of the error of themselves. And so when you live in self-hatred, in fear, and rejection, and your futile imaginations, and you live in your imaginations and your daydreams, it will lead you into sexual dysfunction. What kind of sexual dysfunction? Okay, and even they did not retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind. Is not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-minded, they are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. That's the end of the road. It's called a perverse mind, and you see it in the Satanist. Totally implacable, terrifying. I have dealt with them, and sexual dysfunction, and it leads to a perverse mind, leads to a debased mind, or a reprobate mind. Sexual dysfunction means sexual problems. Now, if you want to read about them, they're in the book. I'm not going to talk about them. I'm going to just say he gives you all kinds of sexual problems, in which sex becomes, you either are whoring around after everything in town and not having been satisfied, or you can't be satisfied with your wife. And it gives you other things. That leads down to a perverse spirit, which gives you a peeping Tom, an exhibitionist, a transvestite, masochism. That's somebody that ties you up. You want somebody to tie you up and beat you. Or you want to tie up somebody and beat them. Abnormal sex, fornication, adultery, incest, oral genital sex, masturbation. These things are abnormal. They're against the Bible, and they're against nature. Now, I have people send me all kind of copies of interpretations of the Song of Solomon, and I tell you, if you let me interpret the Bible like that, I can make it mean anything I want to. There are people who are in bondage to it, and they're trying to justify it. That's all. They're just trying to justify it. And so they say, oh, this means this, and this means that, and God has shown me this is this, and this is that, and this is what this word really means. Well, that's not what Briggs Drive on. And Brown says, that's a Bible, the gold standard for Hebrew-English lexicon. Well, this is new knowledge. We found out new stuff. And this goes beyond that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. New knowledge. And you can become a homosexual or a lesbian. Or you can get the base mind. You can be a sociopath, a psychopath, a pedophilia. Or you can be a Satanist. I need to add Satanist down there. A psychopath, a sociopath. You generally see that in teenagers. If it doesn't start by the time they're 15 years old, it's probably not a sociopath. They are manipulative. They will do anything to get their way. They apparently have no conscience, but they generally don't tend to murder folks. They're not your serial killer. And as they get past 40 or 50 years old, they sort of mellow out. They're still a crook. A sociopath, those are your serial killers. And that's where you find your Satanists. And the pedophile, that's somebody who molests children. And I have ministered to a number of them. I had a relationship with a judge who lived behind me, and I took care of him when he was a child and his children. And these people would always tell them, they always wind up in my spiritual warfare class for prayer once they got caught, you know, they They were over wanting prayer and wanting help, and they always saw a judge, and Dr. Null was working with us, and he's helping us. And so they get a court order. They had to come to the Bible study and continue in counseling with Dr. Null, is what the court order said. And that meant come into the Bible study. And they would do whatever you told them to till the court order expired, and then they're out chasing kids again. My results weren't very good. Maybe somebody's had better luck than me. I don't think so. I talked to Ernie Glenn. Ernie said he'd never known one to get help. Or you can get an inferiority insecurity. Fear will manifest by making you feel insecure and inferior. And we've read Numbers there. That's where the spies came back and gave the children of Israel a bad report. And they said, we were like grasshoppers. And so they wanted to go back into bondage to Egypt. And so it will give you a constant fear of failure. And you fear of failure, you free responsibility, can't accept responsibility. That's the person said now, they come in for counseling and you tell this man, said, okay, now you got to help him, you got to help with his kids, you got to be him, you got to take responsibility. Oh, yep, come. I said, I'll do that, doctor. And he leaves town the next day and he ain't gone on a business trip for 2 weeks. And they say, yep. Or the wife will say, oh, yes, I'm going to stay home. I've got to have a job. I cannot express myself here washing dirty diapers. I need to have a job that will give me importance and meaning to my life. No. The only thing to do that, baby. Probably under the curse of abortion. There's a book back there you ought to read on the curse of abortion. If anybody in your background for the last 10 generations had an abortion, you can be under the curse of an abortion. And y'all got any idea what your blood kin was doing 400 years ago? Maybe it doesn't last quite that long, but it seems like to me it does. Arrested development. What's arrested development? It comes in from fear. That means you stop there at 10 years of age and you just are, you've been mistreated, rejected, and your maturity level acts at 10 years the rest of your life. Tend to fly off the handle, get mad, act like a 10-year-old, have temper tantrums, or you withdraw. You got to withdraw there, he's a loner, always by himself, got sort of a flat affect, he never smiles, never shows any emotion, and he's lonely, got a lonely spirit, withdrawn, you got the grasshopper spirit. And you say you feel you deserve the abuse. Why does, most women and that come into the shelter, why'd they stay with John who was beating the tar out of her once a week? Because she deserved it. Well, she burnt the toast. Or she put the wrong jam on the table. He liked strawberry, not grape, and she put out grape and he beat the hell out of her for it. She deserved it. She's inferior. You want to return to bondage. Abusive relationships, vagabond, drugs. I interviewed the lady at the, I was trying to, get some information on crazy making. Because these, abusive husbands or abusive wives will engage in crazy making. And if you go and talk to ladies who've been in the abuse center, they'll tell you the various techniques that their husbands use to make them feel crazy. To shatter their soul. Steal part of their soul. And so I went up to talk to this lady about this, and I told her, and I gave her a copy of my book, and I sat down, and I talked to her, explained to what I knew about it, and she listened and said, boy, that's really good, that's really interesting. I said, but the thing that bothers me, said, we will work with these ladies, and we will get them up to the point, and everything looks good. Then all of a sudden, like magic, they say, well, my children really need a father, and he's promised he's going to do better, and he's going to change. I'm going home. And go home, and of course, same thing all over again. In several months, they're back in the shelter again. And this happens, or else they go to court, and he cries for the judge, and oh, he's changed. And this is a spirit of Haba. It is, they've been pulled together and tied by a magic knot of the charmer. And so they will go back into bondage, because they're drawn back in, because of this spirit. It's like an evil soul tie that draws them in. Come in. 1 John, says there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, but fear involves torment. Torment. You get a panic attack. You get arrested development. You get night terrors. Wake up in the middle of the night with nightmares. Can't sleep. Sleep a couple of hours and wake up. And tormented. Children do this called night terrors. Child wakes up in the middle of the night screaming. They get phobic reactions. They're scared of spiders, scared of snakes, scared of the dark. There are 1,200 different types of phobic reactions that come in because of fear of being tormented. Can't go in an elevator. Can't get near a spider. Don't like closed places. Can't go in a room without windows so you can see out. You get lassitude. That's impaired function. That's the same word, Greek word, that is used in James where it said, if there be any sick among you, and any of you have lassitude, let them call the elders, and they shall anoint with oil and so forth. That's the word that's used. And it's means weakness. They get flight of ideas. What's flight of ideas? Oh, they're talking about Johnny over here, and halfway through Johnny, they switch over and they're talking about Mary. Right in the middle of Johnny, they start talking about Mary, and they talk about Mary, and then they switch back to Jenny. And they talk about that, and then they're back to Johnny again. And it all just runs together. It's called flight of ideas. They can't concentrate. They got impaired memory. They're weak and tired. All of these things are precursors to something known as depression. And then you get infirmity spirits. Asthma, high blood pressure, ulcers, colitis, bladder spasm. I mean, you folks know when you get upset and scared, you got to go to the bathroom every hour. And you go in there and you got this terrible urge, you get in there and that's it. Teaspoonful. You go back out and you work a little bit and that fear hits you and you get back in there again, another teaspoonful. Bladder spasm. Okay. I'm the only person that ever had that. Huh? Asthma. High blood pressure, ulcers, colitis. You get viral infections and bacterial infections. Fear affects the immune system so that your white corpuscles are defective. And then all them bacteria that's in your body, in your colon, and on your skin can suddenly invade you. Down in your lungs can suddenly invade you. And you get sick from fear. Terror, depression. Proverbs 12:25, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. New King James says heaviness. Old King James says depression. Terror causes depression. Panic attacks, drugs. A panic attack is said to be life's most unpleasant episode. Now, I described the panic attack in my book. I got Merck Manual out, and I copied what it said about it. It was so descriptive to me. I copied it, and I called my son, who has got a PhD from Cambridge University and speaks 6 different languages and all this other stuff. And I said to him, I want to read this to you and see what you think. And so I read it to him. And he said, well, Dad, who are you writing this for? You writing this for a bunch of doctors? Or are you writing this for ordinary folks like me? I said, you don't understand it? He said, no. He said, hadn't anybody ever told you how they felt when they had one? I said, yeah. Well, write that down. So I sat down and I drew back into my memory. And I remember this girl, first thing, that was one of my girlfriends that had one. And she described it so vividly to me a number of times. And so I wrote it all down. And I brought it down here and read it to Patty and Linda. And Linda said, that's the most awful thing I've ever heard of. I hope that don't happen to me. I said, do you understand, Linda? She said, yes, and I don't want one. Okay. So you don't want a panic attack. You think you're going to die. First you're scared you're going to die, and then you're scared you're not. You're going to live and suffer. It causes decreased mental ability, withdrawn and isolated. Appetite problems, you either have anorexia or gluttony. Sleep problems, you sleep all the time, insomnia, or you don't sleep at all. You sleep all the time, or you don't sleep at all. You know, one way to get away from your problem is sleep all the time. Sex problem, you have dysfunctional sex. Sex don't work right. Or you don't have no sex drive at all. It's called anorexia. despondency, despair, hopelessness, suicide, and death. And the answer is they put you on drugs. And these will, serotonin, they use serotonin reabsorption blocking agents. Raise your serotonin level. But it don't get rid of the root cause. And when you stop taking the medicine, it comes back. And you need to get to the cause of a spirit of fear. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and self-control or sound mind. So fear is a spirit. They say, well, there's such thing as natural fear. Really? Well, there's a man in a foxhole. He's scared. They're shooting at him.
Yeah.
God put him there. He is convinced he's where he's supposed to be and led by the Holy Spirit. He won't be afraid. Norman Parrish lived in Guatemala for 25, and then all his life, the last 25 years, they've always warring factions. And he says God will tell him to go someplace. He's got to go across rebel territory or across bandit territory and then federality territory to get there. 8 or 10 or 15 checkpoints. He goes through them. He says nothing has ever happened to him. He's never been afraid. Now, he's had guns pointed in his face, and he's been threatened. But he's never been hurt, never been robbed, never been afraid. Oh, the rest, I wish that the rest of us could be that firm in our relationship with God so that we could hear His words so clearly that we would know that we were in His hand and under His wing, covered by His covers. And if you're there, you will not fear.
Self-pity? So you get them sorry for yourself, saying, it ain't fair. I'm going to just go over here in the corner and eat worms. And Saul said to his servants who stood about him, now hear you, Benjamites, will the son of Jesse give every one of you fields and vineyards? Will he make you captains of thousands and captains of hundreds? All of you have conspired against me. See, he's paranoid there. There's not one of you who reveals that my son has made a covenant with the son of Jesse, and there's not one of you who feels sorry for me or reveals to me my son has stirred up the servant against me to lie in wait for me. So there you've got self-pity and paranoia and accusation. False accusation. Self-pity is. It's unfair. And you get angry. You look over there and say, look at them. Wow. Here I am trying to follow God, and I'm working hard, and I got a mortgage. And those people over there, they're drinking and partying and whoring around, and they don't seem like they got any problem. That ain't fair. Now, I'm the only one who felt that way. And you get angry and mad, and you get bitter about it. That'll give you an infirmity. As you withdraw, we'll go over in the corner and eat worms, you know. And you get delusional, deceptive, you daydream and live in fantasy. A false responsibility. Now, what is that? Assume other people's responsibility. You go to a party there and these kids are cutting up and they aren't your kids and you aren't the hostess, but you're running over correcting them. And the mama takes exception to the fact that you're bothering her young'un. And the hostess feels like she didn't give you permission to do that. But you over there trying to straighten it up, trying to get it right. Not your responsibility. You accept. You always got to, or you run over and you're working at the job, you got to go over and do somebody else's job for them. Help them out. That's your place. You need to keep your workplace clean. Let the other person worry about his. Have false compassion. Worry about all them poor little rats that they have. They're experimenting on down there with drugs, and they're treating these poor little rats. I'm going to run down there and turn them rats loose. Break into the laboratory and destroy all the data and turn those rats loose. Or maybe they're monkeys or dogs. Yeah, we used to have the anti-vivisection league when we were having our psychology classes, physiology classes, at medical school, and we used to get the dogs, they were going to go to sleep. I had the pound, bought them from the city, and we would put them to sleep there in the psychology, in the physiology laboratory, check their blood pressure and do experiments while they're under anesthesia, and then terminate the animal. And we had the anti-vivisection league. They were in there taking pictures. They were in there looking to make sure we were treating those animals right. Noticed always, the ladies always wore four fur coats, you know. I wondered how many little minks that sacrificed their life for their fur coat. God bless them. That's another story. I won't get into that one.
self-accusation. You accuse yourself. Fear will make you accuse yourself. And you get self-hatred and compulsive confession. We've talked about self-hatred. We've talked about compulsive confession. He said to David, Saul said to David, you are more righteous than I, for you rewarded me with good, whereas I rewarded you with evil. Self-accusation will get self-condemnation, self-hatred, compulsive, and false responsibility of blame. You accuse yourself. And you condemn yourself, hate yourself. You hate your job. You hate who you are. You hate how you look. And you go around telling everybody. And you go out and you got a whoring spirit. And you go out and confess to everybody how you've been out whoring the night before. And you wonder why they sort of pull away from it. And you take that as rejection. But you can't not confess it. Because you got a demon called compulsive confession. Perfectionism. Now, this is a tough one. This is the person who's got everything in its place and a place for everything and everything in its place. The house is perfect. You walk in, man, it looks like it's ready for the better homes and gardens people to come in and take pictures. In other words, you can come into some homes that's sloppy and everything, they got an unclean spirit. Will you come look at my house, please give me a notice. I'm a bachelor, I live alone, you know. I clean it up once a month. Galatians 4:9. Paul said, but now that you've known God, or rather been known by God, how is it you turn to the weak and beggarly element, which you desire to be in bondage? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I'm afraid I'll leave it in vain. Now that's the New King James Version. The Old King James Version is pretty much the same. Now let's look at the New Revised Version, which Derek Sprint says is a more accurate translation. Now, however, you have come to know God, or rather be known by God, how is it you turn back again to the weak and beggarly elemental spirits? The New Living Bible says elemental beggarly elemental spirits. How is it you want to be enslaved with them again? You observe special days and so forth. Now, what's happening here is the Galatian church was going back under the law. They had some Pharisees come in and tell them that they had to go back under the Jewish diet. They had to go under the Jewish diet, the dietary law. And you have to understand now, the dietary law of the Jews is not a bad diet. It's the same diet that the American Academy of, the same diet that Dr. Harrison put me on in 1952. And the same one the American cardiologist recommends today. There's nothing wrong with it. But you don't get your righteousness because you eat it. It's good for you. You ought not eat pig. It ain't good for you. And it's abomination to God. They had to get circumcised. They had to observe certain days, all the Jewish festivals and holidays, all the new moons, all the special high days, and so forth, to be righteous before God, in addition to Jesus Christ. Now, people, perfectionists, what they say is that I'm going to learn to do everything perfect, then nobody can criticize me. I'm going to be perfect, and nobody can criticize me. And normally these people have been raised in extreme legalism. They were raised under a legalistic system where they got disapproval and told they never measured up. If you'd always just done a little bit more, like the Jehovah's Witness, and he's publishing houses, going from house to house, selling books. And the sun's going down, and he's tired. And he begins to walk away, and he gets in his car. And that spirit says to him, God would have been pleased if you'd published to you today if you'd published 2 more houses. You had time, it wasn't dark. God would have been pleased if you'd done 2 more houses. No matter how hard you work, just 1 more, 2 more. The rod is always lifted, and you're always a failure. You're never good enough. And so they keep the rule book. Everything. They live by that rule book. They do everything perfect. And the Colossians said, well, if anybody cheats you, that means take you bondage, through philosophy, empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of this world. Let's look at the New Revised.
See, nobody takes you captive through philosophy and then according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the universe, not according to Christ. And so these things are spirits of bondage. These spirits referred to in Galatians, were the spirits that they spoke to at that time, were the spirits that controlled astrology and the Babylonian religion, of which Celebi was the chief goddess. And that is another name. She has another name. Her name is Jezebel. Jezebel has many names. Each one is a little different. Each one of them has a little different manifestation. But they all have the same thing, to control you, to beat you into submission, and to try to make you control other people. And so, if you be so unfortunate to have a perfectionist who's obsessive compulsive, you see, they can be a sex slave. But they recheck work, recheck others' work. Check and recheck work many times. And they'll sit up there at night checking the work you did looking for mistakes so they can give you, so they can talk to you in the morning and give you some constructive criticism. And they'll suck all the pride out of all the self-worth out of you in about 5 minutes. But they're just trying to help. They're nitpicking, critical. They're phobic, obsessive planners, everything on schedule, everything. I remember we had this one teacher, and she had them pass the papers forward, and they had to pass the paper book turned down. And God bless any child who sent it forward, turned up. You think I'm kidding you? I mean, that woman was something else. Okay. And you should hear a training of the teachers to use this method. And so, you know, if you do everything right and you know all the rules and you never do anything wrong, your pride swells up a little bit and your ego and your vanity. And you get sort of critical, you know. And you can give people that constructive criticism, you know, and correct their mistakes. But, you know, you get frustrated with them and you get impatient. You're doing everything right and they keep messing up. And you get anger, rage, and violence. Particularly if it's your mate or your children. And so people who are raised under extreme legalism with perfectionism like this tend to be very fearful. Fearful of making mistakes. Don't have a good work. They've never been affirmed. They quite frequently are told they're ugly. And they're raised to have an ugly spirit. The ugly spirit comes in a lot of different ways. That's a very powerful spirit. I remember a young lady I was talking to about it, and she said, talk about fathers' responsibility for their daughters, and one of them is to tell their daughters they're beautiful, to reaffirm their daughters. She said the only time she ever heard her father say, you're beautiful, she got ready to go out on the night she got ready to go out on her junior-senior prom, she was wearing an evening dress, and he looked at her and he said, my God, you're beautiful. It was the only time she got positive reaffirmation. She said she treasured that to this day. Now, he wasn't a bad man. He had problems of his own, and nobody had trained him. I used to have my, try to have my fathers come in at least once a year and talk to me. Lots of them wouldn't. And I talked to them about their daughters and their responsibility to their daughters and the fact that they're supposed to tell their daughters they're beautiful and to reaffirm them and to have a positive image. Paranoid. 1 Samuel 18:7, I think we've read that one. 1 Samuel 22, they get envy, jealousy, and accusation of others. Here we have 1 Samuel 18, Saul, the women sang and danced, that Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000. Saul was the king. And Saul became angry and displeased him, said, they've ascribed to David 10,000, but they've only ascribed to me thousands. What more can he have now but the kingdom? And from that day forward, he eyed David suspiciously. The next verse. And then we read this one about Ahiad. We've already read that one. People, fear. Fear comes in from rejection. Fear is a terrible thing. It is not from God. God did not give you a spirit of fear, but a power and of law and of sound mind. Now, on the back of your handout, there's one on pride, and I'm going to do that one on Thursday at
At 3 o'clock, please bring your handout back with you. Oh, Miss Patty, Ronnie, you have any of them left?
Got a few left. Okay.
Thank you. Because Miss Patty, she said this is it. She's not going to make any more. So please don't lose it. I have another piece of a handout to give you, but it's not that one. It's something different when we talk on Thursday. But fear is a terrible thing. And fear has many manifestations. And I say to you that we're going to come against all these manifestations of fear. Anybody says they have never feared, they're not being honest with themselves. And fear comes in. It can be a familiar spirit that runs in your family. Generally, if mother is fearful, generally the daughter will be fearful. Like mother, like daughter. It says in Ezekiel 16. If the father is fearful, generally the sons will be fearful. Like father, like son. If you have witchcraft in your family, it runs by fear. And we'll cover that tomorrow. Thursday. There's so much in this that I can only cover so much of it. I try to cover most of it in the book and put it in a position you can see how it flows. Because it flows out of rejection. And the most important thing for you to realize that you have been accepted in the Beloved. When you were saved, you were adopted into God's family. You became a child of the living God. You became the seed of Abraham. If, it says in Galatians, if you belong to Jesus Christ, you be the seed of Abraham. Under the law of the Goel, anybody who had managed their business so poorly that they were sold into slavery, it was the obligation of their nearest of kin that was able to redeem them out of slavery. That's the law of the Goel, the Hebrew law. The only relative that you have that was able to redeem you was Jesus Christ. He was without sin. He was tempted in every way, but yet His blood could atone for your sin. Innocent animals could not erase the sin. And atone in Hebrew means to cover. Atone in Greek means to cleanse. His blood could cleanse you. And He was your relative because you both descended from Adam. And so He gave His life, His blood, and then He was the first fruits from the dead. He was raised for your justification, that you might be made holy. And God sent the Spirit of His Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. And He sent a spirit of adoption, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, because of this, if you belong to Jesus Christ, now you understand when you were redeemed from the law of the Goel, you belong. You got to pay back the purchase price. Until the year of Jubilee. On the Day of Atonement, on the year of Jubilee. And that will come when Jesus Christ comes back at the Feast of Tabernacles. That is when that Jubilee will occur. Jesus is going to come back. And He is going there. But you are His brothers and sisters. Children of the living God. And you have been accepted in the Beloved. Ephesians 1, 6, and 7 says, In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of His grace, whereby you have been made accepted in the Beloved. That's transposed a little bit, but that's what it says. You have been justified by His blood. Romans 5, 9 says, Much more now you have been justified by His blood. And saved from the wrath to come. The word justified means you've been tried in the ecclesiastical court and heaven declared not guilty. You're not guilty. Jesus says, My blood. Jesus suffered without the gate that He might sanctify the people with His blood. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 13. Back 13, verse 12. Jesus suffered without the gate that He might sanctify you, make you holy, acceptable to God, set apart for God. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You're not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body and your spirit, which are God's. You don't own that body. It belongs to God. It belongs to Jesus. He bought and paid for it with His blood. You don't have a right to do with it what you want to. You guys don't have a right to defile it with fornication. You don't have a right to defile it with idolatry and with drugs. You have a right to keep it clean. Wait for His return. Touch not the unclean. Come out from among them. Touch not the unclean thing, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the living God. That's where we are today. We're not going to touch the unclean thing. We're going to tell all these unclean spirits to go. The unclean spirit of fear and all its ramifications. Okay? Do you follow me on what I'm telling you? It's important that you understand this, that you are a child of God and you have been accepted in the Beloved. You're not rejected. Fear has no right to you. It's got no legal claim on you under the blood of Jesus. As you confess your sin and the sins of your ancestors and say, Jesus Christ was made a curse for me that I might be delivered from the curse of the law. Thank you, Lord. And you claim it. Some folks say it's automatic. You don't hurt to claim it. I think you got to claim it. I'm not going to argue with you about it, but you won't hurt to claim it. Okay? Everybody stand up now. Let's get your blood circulating. Oh, God, we praise You and we bless You and we glorify You, Lord God. Everybody praise Him a little bit and jump up and down and get your blood moving again. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We praise You and bless You and glorify You, Lord. Lord, we praise You and we bless You and we glorify You, Lord God. Great God, mighty God, glorious God, we praise Your name. Praise You and bless You and glorify You, Lord. Oh, God, we praise You and bless You, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. Oh, God, we thank You. We praise You. We bless You. We glorify You, Lord. Oh, God, pour Your Spirit out today, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank You, Lord God. I thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Say, dear Lord, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He was manifested in the flesh. He died on the cross for my sin. Was raised from the dead for my justification. He ascended into heaven. It's on the right hand of God the Father. Ever to make intercession for me. God is my Father. Jesus Christ is my big brother. And my Redeemer. I thank You, Lord. I thank You. Lord Jesus, I confess my sin and the sins of my fathers. I accept my guilt and the guilt of my fathers. I repent of these sins. I put them under the blood of Jesus. And I break the curse on me and my lineal descendants, my seed, forever, under the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh God, pull Your Spirit out today. Break the curse of rejection in my life. I claim redemption from rejection, from the birthright of rejection. My birthright is now acceptance, for He has made me accepted in the Beloved. Rejection, I bind you. Idolatry. Whoredom. Vagabond. Returning evil for good. Poverty. And any other curses. I break them in Jesus' name. I thank You, Lord. Lord Jesus, set me free. Now in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind them. And I cast them out. Turn them loose now in the name of Jesus. Come on out, rejection. Let them go. Let them go. Let them go, rejection. Let them go. All that birthright of rejection. Come out. I bind the spirit of fear now. God didn't give them a spirit of fear. Y'all can sit down now. Y'all can sit down. God didn't give them a spirit of fear. but of power and of love and a sound mind. And I bind fear now. Fear, turn them loose. All fear be gone. Fear of being rejected. Fear of not being good enough. Come out. Come on out. Fear. Self-hatred. Come out. Self-hatred. Come out. Come on out. Self-hatred. Mutilation. Ear piercing. Tattooing. Mutilations. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Self-hatred. Come out. Self-rejection. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Hate my body. I bind that spirit. I hate my body in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come out. All bulimia. Come out. All anorexia. Come out. All gluttony. Come out. Come out. God of the belly. I bind you and I break your power and I command you to go. In the name of Jesus Christ. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go in the name of Jesus. I bind you and I break your power in Jesus' name. I break your power and I command you to leave now in the name of Jesus. Let him go. Let him go. Let him go. Self-hatred. Self-hatred. Come out. Come out. In the name of Jesus. Self-hatred. Come out. In the name of Jesus Christ, I break the power of daydreaming now, of fantasy. Fantasy and idolatry. Come out. Daydreaming, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Out, 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 out. All the daydreams, all the daydreams, all the idolatry. Come out in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirits of idolatry in the name of Jesus. The daydreaming in the name of Jesus. Sex dreams, come out. Power dreams, come out. Witchcraft dreams, come out. Controlling dreams, come out. Come out of them in the name of Jesus Christ. All you visions, let God's people go. Let them go. You can't bind them anymore. You can't hold them in bondage. We break your power. Let them go in the name of Jesus Christ. All you fantasy spirits, all you spirits of pornography, come out, pornography. Come out, internet pornography. Come out, computer games. Come out, bondage to computer games. Bondage to football games, basketball games, football games, baseball games. Come out, all bondage, soccer games. Come out. Golf games, fishing games, come out. Anything that you retreat into, come out. Fishing, spirit of fishing of the bass boat. We'll bind you and I break your power and I command you to go. Oh! Come out, come out. All these things you retreat into, I bind them in the name of Jesus Christ and I command them to be gone. All the idolatry. All the idolatry. All the pornography. Come on out, pornography. I bind internet pornography now in the name of Jesus. Dirty books, come out. Television pornography, come out. Dirty pictures, come out. Dirty television programs, come out. X-rated movies, X-rated TV shows, come out in the name of Jesus. Come out, shock jocks, come out. Listen to the shock jocks, come out in the name of Jesus. I break your power, command you to go in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirits of whoredom now. Come out, all the whoredom spirits that came in through idolatry. Wine, new wine, the spirit of whoredom has led them astray. Wine, new wine, and whoredom takes away the soul. I break the power of it in the name of Jesus, and I command it to go. Come out, go, go, in Jesus' name. We bind you, spirits of the transvestite, cross-dressing, come out. Spirits of the exhibitionist, come out. Spirits of the peeping Tom, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come on out. All spirits of lesbianism, homosexuality, come out. All spirits of whoring, come out. Whoring spirits, come out. Come on out, 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 out. In the name of Jesus, all staring spirits, all lusting spirits, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I break your power in the name of Jesus. Come out. All these spirits who look at the TV, look at the advertisements of the young girls in their underwear. Come out. In the name of Jesus. All you pornography spirits, come out. In the name of Jesus. I bind you and I break your power. In the name of Jesus. There are five people in here look at young girls in their underwear and on the newspapers. They sit and look at it for hours and they think about it and they masturbate over it. I break the power of it in the name of Jesus Christ. I said, turn God's people loose in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. Let them go. Let them go. Everybody cough now. I want everybody in the room to cough. Push them out. Push them out. Push them out. Come out now in the name of Jesus. Everybody cough. Give courage for your brother in the name of Jesus Christ. Cough and push it out. Give courage for your brother in the name of Jesus Christ.
So he can get rid of it in the name of Jesus. He's scared too because he said somebody gonna know about it. Come out, all of you in the name of Jesus. Out, out, out in the name of Jesus. I break the power of it in Jesus' mighty name. Oh God, we thank you and we praise you. I come against perverse spirits. I come against oral genital sex in the name of Jesus Christ. Abnormal sex, dysfunctional sex, anorenia in the name of Jesus. I come against it. Come against, oh, erectile dysfunction spirits in the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out. Premature ejaculation. Come out. No climax. Late climax. Delayed climax. Out in the name of Jesus Christ. I break your power. Let God's people go. All you whoring spirits, come out of there. Let God's people go in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you and I break your power. Everybody cough and push them out now. Cough. I want everybody to cough. Give coverage to your brothers and sisters. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All you foul spirits in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, all you exhibitionist spirits, all you spirits who wear short skirts in the name of Jesus, tight clothes in the name of Jesus, run around without your shirt on to show your muscles. Come out, all you exhibitionist spirits, out in the name of Jesus Christ. Out, 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 all the exhibitionists, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, I bind you and I break your power and I command you to leave. Leave in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against the grasshopper spirits, all you grasshopper spirits, inferiority spirits, come out. Oh, God, I just can't do it. I'm so sorry. I'm just worthless. I'll never mount to anything. Come out! All you worm spirits, all you spirits of him, come out! 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 Push them out! Push them out! Every bit of it, out! Out in the name of Jesus Christ! Come out of there! All you grasshopper spirits in the name of Jesus. All you phobic spirits in the name of Jesus Christ. All you self-hatred spirits in the name of Jesus Christ. All you compulsive spirits. All you false responsibility spirits. Out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Come out. Come out. Self-accusation spirits. Come out. Spirits of self-accusation. I bind you and I break your power. All spirits of terror. I come against terror. I come against panic attacks. Panic attacks out in the name of Jesus Christ. All panic attacks in the name of Jesus. All flight of ideas. All lasthenia in the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out. All impaired memories. All loss of appetite. Can't sleep. Come out. Come out. All insomnia. All sleepiness. All heaviness. All stupor. I bind you and I command you to leave God's people now. Let them go. Let them go. Out! Push them out, people! Push them out! Push them out in the name of Jesus Christ! We bind you and we break your power! We command you to go! Go in Jesus' name, all of you! Out! Out of God's people! Let them go! Let them go! Out! All you bulimia spirits! Come out! All you spirits of gluttony, God of the belly! I bind you and I break your power! You're terrified! Go eat! That'll make me feel better! Come out, you spirits of terror that makes people eat! Come out! Eating spirits, out. The God of the belly, gotta eat. Got low blood sugar. Got low blood sugar. Come out in the name of Jesus. Spirits of low blood sugar. Come out. 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 All you eating spirits. Come out in the name of Jesus. All you fat spirits. All you gluttony spirits. Come out. 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 Let them go. Let them go. You can't torment them anymore. Fear of starvation. Fear of not having enough. Come out. Gotta get better. May not be able to eat tomorrow. Come out in the name of Jesus. Out, out. Gonna get that manna for 2 days. Gonna eat that manna up. Gonna get a whole lot of it so I got saved some. Out in the name of Jesus. Come out, all you spirits and fear starvation. Out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. All you spirits of heaviness and depression. Heaviness and depression. I bind the spirit of depression. Anxiety in the heart brings depression. Depression, I'm speaking to you. Depression, come on out. Lassitude, sleepiness, can't think, come out. Loss of appetite, loss of sex drive, come out. Out, let them go. Anorenia, spirit of anorenia, go. Spirit of anorenia, go. All you spirits, get out of them in the name of Jesus Christ, go. Go, spirit of anorenia, no sex drive. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on out. I bind the spirits of depression in the name of Jesus Christ, of heaviness and depression in the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out. Come out! Can't eat! Can't eat! Not hungry! Anorexia! Come out! All anorexia spirits! All gluttony spirits! Come out in the name of Jesus Christ! Can't sleep! Sleep all the time! Out! 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 Dysfunctional spirits! I bind you and I break your power in Jesus' name! Command you to go! Go in Jesus' name! Go in Jesus' name! Bind you and I break your power and I command you to go! Hallelujah, Lord! I bind the spirits of self-accusation now. Come out, self-accusation. Come out, all spirits of self-accusation. Come out. Out, not good enough. Come out. Poor me, spirits. Poor me, poor me. I'm going to go in the corner and eat worms. Come out. Poor me, I'm not good enough. Come out. All you poor me, spirits. Come out. Poor me. Self-accusation spirits, I'm always wrong. I'm never right. I never do anything right. I'm always wrong. Come out. Come out. Spirit, your father said to you, why can't you get it right? Can't you ever do anything right? Come out. Come out. I break that curse that came from your father and your mother. Told you you could never do anything right. Out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. All you spirits, come out. Out. Out in the name of Jesus Christ. I break your power. Command you out now in the name of Jesus Christ. Come against cancer. I bind all cancer. Cancer be gone in the name of Jesus. I curse you to your roots. Rebellion in the cells. Cancer. In the name of Jesus. Hemangiomas. I bind hemangiomas. I command them to go. 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 All of you go in the name of Jesus Christ. I break your power in the name of Jesus. And I command you to go in Jesus' name. All of you out. Out. Out in the name of Jesus. Not bind you, not break your power. Arthritis. I speak to arthritis in the name of Jesus. I bind arthritis. I bind diabetes in the name of Jesus. I bind lupus erythematosus. Scleroderma. All of you, come out in the name of Jesus. I speak healing to carious teeth now. I speak healing to carious teeth in the name of Jesus. Gingivitis, pyorrhea, root canals, I bind them. I speak healing to carious teeth. Lord, put gold caps on their teeth so that you know they've been there. Touch them, Lord God, with gold caps, Lord God. Put a gold cap on their tooth, Lord, in the name of Jesus, so everybody can see it. See your glory. Oh, God, touch them. Touch them, Lord. Oh, Lord God, just pour your spirit out now. Spirit deliverance and healing, Lord. Let your love flow through them now, Lord God. Let your love flow. All fear be gone now. Let the love of God. Everybody hold up their hands. Stand up and hold up your hands now. Oh, God, let your love flow, River. Let your love flow into them now, Lord God. The love of God. Oh, God, let the agape love flow down, Lord God. The agape love does drive out all torment in the name of Jesus. Drives out all fear, for fear has torment. I speak to the spirits of arrested development, and I bind them, and I command them to go in Jesus' name. I speak the love of God, the acceptance of God. Lord, let your love flow into them, the agape love, in the name of Jesus. Let your agape love flow into them. God, more, Lord God, more your love. Let your love flow in now in the name of Jesus. We praise you and we bless you and we glorify you. Jesus' mighty name. Praise your name. Oh, God, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And all God's folks said, amen. Lord, bless the food. We thank you for it, Lord. Bless those folks that fixed it and those folks who are going to eat it, Lord God. We thank you and we praise you for it, Lord. We thank you for deliverance. We speak healing and restoration now. We speak fullness of the Spirit. We speak the peace, shalom of God, the healing grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliverance and serenity in the name of Jesus. We speak the love, our agape love of our God, the flow. Oh, God, we thank you and we praise you and bless you. Amen, amen. Be blessed. Praise God.
This is the end of this message. Our website is LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.